Drupal Voices is short daily podcast interviews with people doing work in the Drupal community. Brought to you by the Lullabot Learning Series. This series of training DVDs and downloadable high-definition videos covers topics such as building sites using CCK and Views, basic and advanced theming, and administering and site building with Drupal. Each densely packed video is a workshop in a box. Learn Drupal from the experts at Lullabot. For more information about each of these videos, visit store.lullabot.com.
So my name is Brian House. I'm a marketing director at Acquia. I run product marketing for the company, and I also run our partner program. So we did our session yesterday, Growing Drupal by 100 Times. And what we were really talking about was we introduced a new product today, Acquia Hosting, which is a managed hosting environment for Drupal websites. And it's designed for high availability, you know, fully redundant infrastructure, and we're adding a lot of performance features. So on one hand, it's about providing a Drupal-optimized hosting environment for site owners to get one number for technical support and for hosting, all designed strictly for Drupal, and we don't host any other applications. So that's one piece of that. And then the bigger piece is a new product we announced yesterday called Drupal Gardens. We did a sneak peek of an alpha version. It's still early days, but we launched DrupalGardens.com and a Twitter feed for Drupal Gardens. And Dries walked through a demo of it. And so this is a Drupal as a service, very similar to Buzzer that the Lullabots you guys have announced. You can go and create a Drupal 7 site right in a browser. You have a lot of tools right in there, so you don't need to know Drupal. You don't have to think like a developer. And you can design a theme. So there's, you know, the thing that's really interesting about it is we have a theme builder that gives you a lot of flexibility to customize and design a theme right in the browser. So a designer, you know, someone who's a design professional could use that and do it in there to prototype stuff really fast. Or someone who just wants to do a small site, you know, small business or a microsite, can go in and then design their theme. It has a lot more flexibility without having to know PHP or CSS or some of the technical pieces. And then the nice thing is it's simplicity and about getting new people to Drupal. I talk to lots of people that say, you know, a lot of our partners that say, hey, you know, when someone has a simple site, we say, go use WordPress. Well, now, you know, with Drupal Gardens and with other services like Buzzer, you can say you don't have to move them away from Drupal. They can actually use Drupal to build a simple site. And then when they're ready to do more, you know, there's lots and lots of great Drupal development shops that can come and help them do a custom site. And they can host that wherever they want. One of the things that we're really excited about, actually, with Gardens is they'll have site portability. So if you create a site, a theme, you know, whatever it is, and then you're ready to move on to add more custom features, add more modules, and do more with it or respond to more traffic, you can totally export the entire site, export the theme, and then move it to hosting wherever you want, in your data center, at Acquia Hosting, or anywhere. So it's a nice way to sort of get up to speed and sort of address that, where do I get started with Drupal? And hopefully, you know, push out the Drupal and grow the Drupal community by orders of magnitude.
And so basing this upon Drupal 7, you're kind of leveraging a lot of the new sort of bleeding edge user interface work that Acquia has actually hired on Mark Bolton and Lisa Reichel to come on and sort of work. So how has that sort of synergy worked out in terms of what the major release of Drupal 7 is doing with terms of their user interface and the user interface that you're using on your hosted version?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think, you know, if we look at the analog in the WordPress community, you know, the thing that they've done so well, particularly in the WordPress.com site, is usability. I mean, they nail that out of the park. And so they provide a great model for us and, you know, for Drupal in general and for Acquia with this service to follow. And so we saw that as really important. And as we thought strategically about what Drupal Gardens should be, we thought, you know, usability was a critical piece at DrupalCon Boston 2 years ago. You know, that was a big focus of the keynote. And so what could we do as a company to contribute to the community to improve that for everyone who uses Drupal? And then how do we take advantage of that in this service, Drupal Garden? So we think it's critically important. You know, I've been to South by Southwest and other shows where you talk to designers and people that build sites. And a lot of people are like, oh, I use, you know, Expression Engine because it's easy to design and build sites quickly. Or I use Joomla, you know, and certainly people use WordPress. And so we want to turn that thing that might be have been perceived in the past as a liability against Drupal into a real asset. So that's why we contributed to Mark and Lisa coming into the community and doing that UX work in the open that everyone that uses Drupal can benefit. And then obviously build the service around that, because we think you know, that's where Drupal's headed. It does so much as an application framework and as a, you know, and as a platform for building sites, that the this usability and the user experience piece is really the next step to really turn this into a big thing. And, you know, and Dries talked this about this a lot, is how do you start to get exponential growth for the Drupal community, not just the linear growth that we've seen over the last few years. And I think, you know, the developers get Drupal, you know, whether it's the right tool for them or maybe it's too heavy in other communities. But the next step, I think, is the usability side. So we see that as critical.
And so on WordPress and WordPress.com, it's basically a blog and you have additional pages. And are you seeing sort of like the Acquia Gardens as sort of at least that baseline, and then from there kind of expand out? Because the challenge, I guess, is that with Drupal having so much functionality, it's almost like you got to pick who's going to be using it to even figure out how you're going to optimize sort of the user interface for that. So what's sort of your plans for where it's at and where it's going?
You know, that's a great question. And simplicity is clearly works to the advantage of the WordPress. And I mean, it wouldn't be so popular if that wasn't the case. One of the things that we're seriously thinking about is starting to think about default user profiles and use cases and install profiles to say, I want to create a blog, or I want to create a wiki or a product site or some there. And then also working with our partners. You know, a lot of people have built great install profiles. You know, our partner Phase 2 with Pest Tattler and OpenPublish. Are there ways that you can make those available in Garden, you know, or slim down versions of those, so that way anyone can come and get and try and prototype and test those, and then when they're ready to move out of Gardens into another system, they can. But I think, you know, as we look over time, providing the guidance and advanced starting point is going to be critical, because as we, you know, anyone who's used Drupal, there is this sort of overwhelming, okay, great, now what? You know, all the modules and the 4,000 that are on D.0. So where do I get started? And so a lot of the experience will be optimized for simplifying that process and easing the on-ramp, and hopefully providing you some templates and choices to choose so you can get started.
You know, you've mentioned a couple of times sort of, you know, having data portability, exporting your sort of site out of the hosted solution. So what is sort of your vision in terms of like what happens after that, or what threshold do people cross either on a personal or technological level to be even want to do that?
You know, by its very nature, in order to offer Gardens as a service, you know, it's going to be slimmed down. It's not going to have 4,000 modules. It's going to, you know, it's going to show the things that Drupal does well, combining content and community. But it'll be a smaller version of what you do if you were building it on your own. And that's going to be great for some small business websites, or for an organization that wants to get a site up and running quickly, a microsite, a product launch, or what we're talking about is a perishable website, something that has a really short lifespan. And the functionality, you know, that'll be available as in the service will be enough to do those things. But what we envision is there'll be lots of people who that'll be great and they'll like that, but then they'll be ready to move to something else. They'll want to hire one of our partners to build out a full website, you know, to add more modules, add more functionality, take advantage of customizations, integrate it with, you know, an internal system. And so what we want to do is we want to use Gardens as a way, as an onboard ramp into the Drupal world, and to reduce the barrier there to get started. But then really it should also be a jumping off point to go into wherever you want to go. So take advantage of any number of the 4,000 modules that are available, to move it to Acquia hosting because that makes sense, or frankly to move it to, you know, any other hosting provider. Ultimately, the thing we care about is getting more people using Drupal. I sat in the Economist presentation this morning, and you know, that was a great example of a company that had built their own CMS system, all running on Cold Fusion. You know, very manual process, very siloed organizations they kind of described, and how they're changing how they operate on the web and responding to market conditions. But it took they described the amount of work it took in order to get through that process. And it's great that they had the organizational fortitude, maybe if you will, to go over the hurdles, to learn Drupal, to, you know, hire lots of firms to help them get that process. And as we think about growing Drupal, we want to reduce the length of time it does to get as sophisticated as what the Economist is doing and other people are doing as they adopt Drupal and build it into their process.
And so with Drupal 7 is integrated a lot of testing and integration, so it's a lot easier to make a stable sort of alpha releases of Drupal 7, but it's still kind of like in that half-baked, you know, almost not you know, it's getting close to the code freeze, but there's still a lot of development that's happening on Drupal 7. So when, how do you see, like, when the base is going to be sort of stable enough for you to kind of launch a web service off of that?
Great question. So, you know, what we did this week was very much a pre-alpha, you know, sneak peek just to show people. And we're building a video, so we're going to post a video shortly about that. But, you know, we're looking at the Drupal 7 code freeze as a milestone that we can work around, you know, and so, you know, Dries' visibility gave into that is important. We look to have some alpha testing here in the next 4 to 6 weeks, and then a beta by the end of the year or beginning of next year, so that way people can start to build sites. And, you know, the hope is that Drupal 7 will be start to be stable enough that once we get to beta, you know, you could really start to work it. You know, is it going to be 100% perfect? No, it's beta, but it'll be good. And then, you know, we're looking to ship in, you know, beginning of next year around the time 7 does. But it's a great way, you know, for a lot of people to, you know, do dry runs with Drupal 7 and take advantage of some of, you know, test it out and try stuff. So,
okay. Well, great. Thanks.
Cool. Thanks a lot. Thanks for talking to me.